Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Once again, as we're walking through this summer sermon series on the book of Proverbs, I just want to draw your attention to these half sheets of paper that are in your What's Happening. On the front side, there is the little devotional thought that goes along with the message for today. And then on the back side are some questions that I pray you're able to use this week to discuss with your spouse, with your family, or just to build up your own faith in this word. So today we've got the proverb, specifically a proverb that deals with discipline. And as I was considering this proverb especially and what it means for us when we talk about God, our Heavenly Father, disciplining us, I couldn't help but think that there are so often those experiences and moments in our life that are the best for us looking back are also some of the most painful that we experience as we're walking through them. And here I'm thinking especially of those moments that we probably have all experienced at one time or another where someone who's very close to us pulls us aside, sits us down, and calls us out for something that we've done or for some way in which we're acting which isn't right. It reminds me of this proverb from Proverbs 27:6. Faithful are the words of a friend, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Now the truth in that proverb is it's oftentimes the people who are closest to you, who love you the most, who are willing to say the hard things, the difficult things, where someone who doesn't care about you at all is going to let you walk in whatever way you want. Now, our proverb for the day goes right along with that idea, Proverbs 12, verse 1. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is stupid. Now, this proverb definitely has an edge to it. As we were considering which proverb on discipline to go with for today, I was discussing this with Andrew Nelson, our DCE, and ultimately we decided on this one because we'll get to the Hebrew of it in a second, but God doesn't mince any words here. The one who loves discipline, one who loves knowledge loves discipline, but he who hates reproof is stupid. And one of the reasons I think this is so harsh sounding to our ears is because in many circles, discipline has become a dirty word. It's a word that we don't oftentimes appreciate and talk very often about. Many people don't naturally associate the idea of love with correction anymore. And the motto of the day is that if you truly love someone, if you care about them, then it means loving them for who they are, period. No correction or discipline needed. But that idea of love divorced from correction, a love divorced from discipline, is as foreign to the Bible as it is foreign to common sense. So consider, so as we deal with this proverb, we'll deal with it in two halves. So the first half, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge. So there was a time when the study of any subject was talked about as the discipline of that. So we talked about someone who is studying biology. They're studying the discipline of biology. You're studying mathematics. You're studying the discipline of mathematics. See, there are several reasons why a love of knowledge requires a love of discipline as well. First, when you sit down to learn something for the first time, and to learn it well, it requires self-discipline. It requires you actually, because it's, to be honest, not always fun learning something for the first time, especially when you're starting out from scratch. It requires the self-discipline to actually sit down and spend the time to get that initial base of knowledge about whatever that subject happens to be. But this idea of discipline, it goes much deeper than just self-discipline, because it also involves this idea of correction, of rebuke. It's the truth that when we learn things, we oftentimes we're able to get a base knowledge just with self-discipline and study. But then as we go deeper into a subject, it requires the practical application of the knowledge that we've been learning. So we learn about things in school, take math for an example, and all through elementary school, I remember my math teachers, my teachers telling me, because I hated math problems. These are important for you because you're going to be using math your whole life. And a lot of the practical application of math is just this. It's math problems, word problems. I hated it. But as we grow up, we not only learn the fundamentals of a subject, then we begin to practice them. And it's in the practice of that discipline, whatever it is, it's in the practice of that that we go deeper in our knowledge. It's in the practice of that we need correction. Because as we try things out, as we use the knowledge we've gotten, there are going to be times when we mess up and we make a mistake. And in those moments, we have to be teachable. We have to be open to correction so that we can move on and go deeper in the study of whatever the subject happens to be. So take for example, just imagine a child who's starting out learning math and starts out with the assumption 2 plus 2 equals 5. Now, if a kid gets that idea and is not open to correction, just imagine where that will take them. Because that one seemingly minor, small error, as they get older, as they move on to more involved levels of math, that one minor error becomes compounded. And it's the same for you and I when it comes to discipline and when it comes to correction from God. And that brings to the second half of the proverb, "He who hates reproof is stupid." Now, this is where political correctness goes out the window. God doesn't mince any words here. The Hebrew word that Solomon actually uses literally means stupid or brutish. As a parent who, you know, I train my kids not to use that word in relation to other people, that was a difficult one as I was studying this proverb specifically. But it has these two parts to it. The first is just ignorance of whatever the subject happens to be. But the second part is the one that's really damaging. It's that when correction comes, a person who hates reproof is going to lash out. He's going to respond in anger against the person who's trying to correct them for their own good. And this proverb becomes even more interesting when you realize the context of it. This is a proverb of Solomon, the son of David and Bathsheba. And you know the history of David and Bathsheba, that relationship that began in adultery. But after David took Bathsheba, he realized she was pregnant, and it's in that moment that his bad decision turns into a whole host of bad decisions. He goes from bad to downright evil. So trying to cover up his sin, he sends for Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, and a friend of his. He sends for him because he and the rest of the army of Israel, they're away fighting a battle. So Uriah comes and gives him the update from the front lines. David welcomes him and then sends him home, hoping that he'll go home and enjoy his home and his wife. And then when 9 months comes, he won't think anything the wiser. But Uriah, he's more honorable than David and refuses to go. David's not deterred, throws a party, gets him drunk, thinking now he'll go back. But still Uriah is more honorable than David and refuses to go home and enjoy the comforts of his home while his brothers are away fighting this battle. So then David sends him to the front lines with orders that virtually assure that he will be killed. And he is. But it's what happens next in the story that makes all the difference for David and also gets at the heart of this proverb. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is stupid. God sent his prophet Nathan to David with full knowledge of what David had done. Nathan went there to rebuke David, to discipline him, to give him correction. Nathan was wise enough to know better than just to come out straight and confront him. Instead, he decides to disarm him first. And so he tells this story paints this picture that's meant to pull on the heartstrings of David, this once shepherd boy. He tells the story of a wealthy man who steals from a poor man the one lamb that this poor man had, and how he killed it and offered it to a neighbor, a friend who was visiting from out of town. And David, the king now, who was once a shepherd, becomes enraged and incensed at the injustice that this man, without any care or thought or concern for this poor man and his one little lamb, would do such a thing in Israel. And then, as he's sitting on his throne fuming, Nathan turns to David and he says, "You are that man." And in an instant, David breaks. Confronted with his own sin, confronted with his own rebellion against God, he repents of his sin, and God restores him. So there's a reason that we remember David, King David, so favorably, and it's not because he led a pure and spotless life. It was because he lived this proverb: "He who loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is stupid." But just imagine a world where we lived that, where all of us lived that every day, where we were open to correction, whether that correction was coming from our teachers, whether it was coming from our bosses, whether it was coming from our friends or our family. I mean, just think what that would do to our nation, where our leaders, when they were rebuked and corrected, where they repent as David did, instead of what they do so often and what we do so often when we're confronted with our sin, when we deflect and we make excuses, we do everything but take responsibility for our sin. See, perhaps this is why David is called a man after God's own heart. He accepted God's discipline when it came. So what about you? See, as unpopular as it is to hear, God does still discipline us today. He does it because he loves us. He does it because, as the writing in Hebrews tells us, that we are God's children by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. So hear again these words from Hebrews 12. "It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons and daughters. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which you all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we all have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them, but he disciplined us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." When we consider what the discipline of God is, it's there in that last verse. It's meant to train us. When this word is used throughout the scriptures, it's used in the context of parents training their children. It's used in the context of training for righteousness. And here in Hebrews 12, it's used in the context of us, the children of God, by faith in Jesus Christ, being trained by God himself as well. God corrects us because he loves us. In this way, God is acting in a way similar to parents who train and correct and rebuke their children because they love them. If my kids go running out in the street, whether it's out here on Jungerman or busy road like that, you can bet I'm going to start yelling. It's not going to seem pleasant for them. But I'm doing it because I love them, because I know that running out in the street is the worst possible thing they could do. I'm calling them back because I want them to live. God, our Heavenly Father, does the same for us. We are his children by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Yes. But because of the presence of sin in our lives still, We still need this discipline of God, this voice of God calling us away from those things and back to Him. But discipline, and this is important, discipline is not punishment. Now, sometimes when we're going through that or when hardships and calamities come, we can catch ourselves thinking that we're going through this, that somehow God is punishing us for something that we've done or for something that we've said. Hardship and suffering are not God's ways of getting even, and neither is it a means of for Him of retaliating for the wrongs that we've committed. See, God's discipline is not the sentence for your sin. Jesus paid for all of that on the cross. He died, and when He was raised to life again, that debt of sin was canceled. There is no more left to be paid on that bill. And this is what the writer of Hebrews is getting at when he begins by saying that it's God disciplining us as His children. It's by grace we become God's children. And as God's children, He does discipline us. When God does that, He's not getting us back, He's drawing us back, bringing us back to His will and away from those things which He knows will destroy us. This is the heart of Proverbs 12, verse 1. He who loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is stupid. In Jesus' name, amen.